Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. Our goal today is to bring you interesting topics and guests. We're broadcasting from 101.5 FM, WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. Our guest today is Lee Linkletter from the Assisi Animal Foundation. Lee, welcome to Around Town.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
So, tell us a little bit, let's start with the history of Assisi, if you would, please.
Well, the history first and most important to me is that we were the first no-kill shelter that was built in McHenry County. And believe it or not, that was not too welcome to a number of people, very surprising, because I had several instances where people said, no-kill? No, that's not the way you do it. You set up a schedule, and if they've been there too long, et cetera, you have to, you know, let them go. And I said, sorry, that's not the way we do it. It's no kill. And eventually people caught on. And apparently every organization in the area currently is at least claiming to be no kill.
So where was that first established foundation building?
We came out here from Chicago. I had started the organization in Chicago. I was teaching in Chicago, and a life-changing event decided that we were going to start the shelter, something we talked about for years, Mother and I. Came out here, found an appropriately zoned piece of property, moved out like we didn't really know what we were doing or getting into. I wonder if I had known all the trials and obstacles I would have gone through with it. Probably. I'm stubborn enough to have walked right along with it. But set up, and we were the first, as I say, no kill. And I'm proud of that. We've been operating for, what, 34, 35 years.
I was just going to ask, when was your shelter first started?
We finally built it and opened the door in 1988, just before Christmas. And that was a Christmas to celebrate, really celebrate. We had, unfortunately, a bad experience with a contractor who classically ripped us off. And we came up with 40 animals from Chicago, thinking we could store them in this small barn while building was going on. And anyway, it got terribly complicated. We had to keep the animals in the house, and he disappeared and took 80% of the entire cost with him.
Oh, boy.
And even went as far as picking up and going away with things that I had been purchasing, windows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, trying to save a middleman price.
Sure.
And he said, oh, I could store that for you in my barn. Never saw those things again. Anyway, it's ancient history. It's done. It's forgotten. We were unable to track the gentleman. And we went ahead full steam, and we're still going. And we set up a number of programs that were unheard of. One of them was animal-assisted therapy. I had been teaching in Chicago, and I was always big on humane education. And thought, gee, poor kids stuck in a hospital. Maybe this would be a good thing to take into a hospital ward. Mm-hmm. Animals sure. That were trained. Made inquiry on that and was told, nice idea, but no, because of the germ situation, et cetera, et cetera. So, okay, thank you. Okay, what can we do instead? So instead turned into calling up a local nursing home and saying, this is what we do. Are you interested? And their answer was, when can you start? And we carried on that program on a regular basis with a team. Of course, COVID made a screeching halt to that whole thing, as it did to everyone on everything.
What's amazing, Lee, is that now animals are encouraged
absolutely.
To go into hospitals.
Absolutely.
For that camaraderie of the pet with the patient.
There were a couple of people in the area that would take their dogs in individually on an informal basis, but we had a team. And we also incorporated cats because there are as many people that love cats as dogs, and many of them both.
Sure.
So it was successful. Now we're trying to build up the team again, simply because we lost a couple of the gals that were on the team, one to a heart attack and another to age. And COVID pulled everything apart.
Sure. Well, you know, the you gave me a note about socialization among animals. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Socialization. Okay. Many shelters did, still do, keep their animals caged or kenneled individually. We do that on entry with an animal, of course. You have to check them out. The first thing is the vet visit and all the tests and necessary shots. But cats and dogs are either colony or pack animals. So we make a point of when the cats are fully inoculated, spayed, neutered, fine, they live in a colony in a large room, which is open. They can play together, feed together, and on top of that, we have a very nice, what we call a catio. It's an enclosed patio, which when the weather is good, they can just go in and out at will. Okay. So they're well socialized and ready for a home that has other animals. And that catio is right next to the dog's exercise area where they are allowed to socialize as well. That's very important, the socialization. And you adopt an animal that's ready for a family or certainly an individual and the whole thing.
Did you find that adoptions were up during the pandemic?
Yes. That was a surprise. And I made a point of having our team talk to each of the potential adopters and emphasize the fact that you're probably stuck at home and bored, silly, looking for distractions. But please keep in mind, this is not just a distraction, not an entertainment that's a temporary thing. It's a commitment for life. And most people would say, yeah, we thought about it. Some would look blankly and say, I didn't consider that, but you're right. And we didn't have any returns as a result of it at the end of the pandemic. Well, there were two, but those were for allergies.
And that's good, because I know a lot of people thought it would be a good idea, but then when the pandemic's over, you know, where do you go from there?
So yeah.
You made a home, you have to keep that pet
right,
in the home.
Right.
I know you offer a lot of services. What about the animal-assisted therapy? I think you guys offer that, were the first ones to offer that.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that's that program that we were talking about just a few minutes ago. We still do. We were going to, in addition to that, we do educational programs. Teachers will sometimes call up and say, could you come and talk to my class? But again, we have to start from scratch with that now that things are allegedly going back to normal.
Well, when you did have the class, Lee, what would you do when you're working with the kids? So what was it like?
I would take in a dog that we had, a golden, and goldens are notorious for being little pushovers, big pushovers, very friendly okay. animals. And he would just sit there patiently and, you know, let him loose, and he'd wander to the kids and give an occasional kiss. And that kept their attention, and also the fact that we were talking probably about avoiding dog bites or cat bites and things of that sort, and general humane attitudes.
Okay. And as far as your intakes and adoptions, how's that been going so far?
Oh, there are always more than you can handle. It's heartbreaking. We tried to take them in. By the animal's emergency. So let's say I've talked to someone who said, I need to place a dog or a cat, whatever, as soon as possible. It's not getting along with my other animal, etc. I'll say, all right, let's see what we can do. Hang up the phone and get another call saying, there's a dead cat in the street and the kittens are running all over. Well, that's where we go. That's
okay.
The first thing. Based on the animal's need. It's busy. It's always busy.
So what, for adoptions, what do you need as far as adoptions? Like, how many do you have to look forward to per month? Is there a number that you shoot for adoptions?
As many as possible, because we do refer to a list that comes up from an organization that covers lots and lots and lots of municipal groups in southern Illinois where they don't keep them very long, sometimes only 24 hours. And if we know that that's the situation for an animal, how much space have we got? We pick those up on a given night at a transfer point, bring them in, and start all over.
So if I'm thinking of adopting, and I go to your organization to adopt this animal, dog, cat, whichever, what has that animal gone through? They had their shots?
Yeah. First thing is obviously a visual thing. Check them over. Make sure they're clean to begin with. Sometimes they need a bath and a comb immediately.
Okay.
And stand back while the fleas pop. But and the very next thing is to see our vet. And we do have a veterinarian who has a mobile unit and comes in once a week. So we've got our little patients all lined up in the office to go to see the doctor. They get tested immediately. Preventives that are appropriate for their age, any shots. If they're old enough, they'll get the rabies shot. Spay neuter as soon as possible. Again, that's determined by age. And, well, we're known for giving not only what the basics require, but very often way beyond the basics, requiring specialized surgery, the whole thing.
Do you see the adoptions of the younger animals as opposed to the senior animals?
We did in the beginning, and I see a very gentle and encouraging shift. Not a shift, but a move toward equalization. We're moving a number of our senior pets. We're moving a number of those even that have some little goofy thing wrong with them, like a cleft palate on a cat. It sounds ridiculous, but it gave him the cutest face you've ever seen. There is no such thing as an ugly animal, as far as I'm concerned.
You're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. For more information about us, go to huntleyradio.com and click on Contact Us, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you may have. We are talking to Lee Linkletter from the Assisi Animal Foundation. So, Lee, on these animals they adopt, which are some of the senior animals, why do you think that is, that people are leaning that way?
I don't know. Well, very often people will say, I'm not a kid any longer, and I really don't want anything that I have to chase down the road or climb up my curtains. That's a very practical source. Or worry about, because I may not survive the animal, and then what do I do? And that's another thing that we instituted, because when we were going to these nursing homes, we very often ran into individuals who, having to move, did not have anybody to leave their pets to. There weren't any family members or appropriate resources, and they had no choice but to make the move, so the alternative was pretty devastating. And so we started a continuing care program, and after application and after interview, we will take some of those animals in, and there is cost involved. It's very modest, but we will keep them for their natural lifetimes and provide all the medical care that's needed. And if the owner wants the animal adopted, we'll make all attempts, but cannot guarantee it's going to happen. Some of them say, no, I've seen the place, I like it, I want to know that this is where they'll be.
And some of the senior dogs, too, are also housebroken, so you don't have to worry about, training the dog and what have you.
Right. Well, the cats, too, they're litter trained and socialized. Our animals are very well socialized. We show them at the cats. We show at the PetSmart in Crystal Lake. They have an adoption center. So the store is nice enough to be hospitable and have us bring in our cats, and that's where we've been doing a lot of the adoptions, simply because we are so understaffed at this point. It's precarious. It really is.
And I think that's a problem that's finding a lot of owners with that same difficult problem. We're trying to hire people or find people that want to work.
Right. Yeah.
And you also have some coming events coming up that you want to talk about?
Well, we're hoping to be able to resuscitate what we had been doing for years and years and years. We had a very nice dinner dance at the Crystal Lake Country Club every fall, and also a fashion show in the spring, also at the country club. And we had one of the radio celebrities from Chicago was our hostess every year for many years. Those were both good. We've not been able to pull those off. I'm hoping that this fall we will be able to do that. And if that's the case, we'll certainly be announcing the first Saturday in November for the dinner dance.
So for the fashion show, is that something that is primarily for the ladies?
Yes, but believe it or not, there are more and more gentlemen coming, which is, it's great. They're the brave ones.
So maybe I should have some fashions for the gentlemen, too, besides the ladies, correct?
Well, we did. Some years ago, we had two gentlemen on the board and a radio celebrity from Chicago who's no longer living. And they were talked into going ahead and did it. And they were good sports about it. I mean, they looked terrific. They were outfitted by a very upscale gentleman's shop. And they pulled it off beautifully.
So let's talk about the needs of a sissy.
The immediate needs are help. We are, as I said, the situation is precarious. We're working 7 days a week. I very often get to bed at 2 a.m. and can't keep that up forever. Just people who have pets of their own or who've had pets of their own, so they have some experience with animals. And it is work, and you have to realize that. Unfortunately, sometimes people will come in and think all they have to do is walk the dogs and play with the puppies and kittens. It's work. That is the immediate need. And, of course, resources, they have to be kept up. We use quality food. We use a great deal of veterinary care. It's very expensive and increasingly so, as is everything. So we need help. Fiscal help, physical help, volunteer help.
And sponsors.
You got it.
Okay. Can you talk about what your classroom visits are like?
Very informal. Either I will take in the Golden who's been retired. So right now we have to find another replacement. We took in a gorgeous young St. Bernard, but he needs a little training or he's going to be leading me into a classroom real soon.
Okay. And of course with those classroom visits, is it like grade schools or high schools or?
Yeah, sometimes even a group of youngsters, a scout group or a church group or something like that, a youth group. Or children with disabilities, and those visits are very good for those kids.
So I had a note here that at one time you had a travel program.
We
focusing
did.
Focusing on wildlife.
We did. I'm crazy about animals, period. And won't bore you with details, but we ended up, Mother and I, taking a vacation on a regular tour in East Africa. And we were two women that wanted all the amenities that were civilized and thought, you know, this is insanity, but let's try it.
Okay.
And came back so enthralled with what we had experienced that the board said, hey, why don't you put together a program and offer it to our membership? So I did, researched it, made contacts, which were very fortunate in Kenya. And we set up a program, and we were going on a yearly basis to Kenya and Tanzania. Of course, these were photo trips. And they were fabulous, absolutely fabulous. I could get away once a year, and sometimes I sent individual groups to contacts that we had established there. And it benefited the entire idea, our work toward conservation of these animals. People came back saying, I had no idea they were so beautiful and in such need. Well, that was the purpose of the whole thing. Unfortunately, that stopped about 8 years ago. Yeah. Political situations all over got nasty, and then they had these horrible outbreaks of Ebola and this and that and the terrorism and the terror groups, and there were a couple of incidents that ended fortunately, but were very frightening with the people who were involved. It wasn't us. But I've had a couple of inquiries again saying, hey, are we going to start that again? I couldn't wait. I mean, I'd love to, but we'll see.
So primarily you were photographing the animals?
Right.
And to bring them back for educational purposes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was part of our, you know, thing, show those to the kids that we visited, if that was what the teacher requested.
And how long would your stay be when you made those trips, Lee?
Whoa. The first groups went out for 26 days in Africa. And people said, this is insane. Nobody's going to want to do 26 days. And every one of them came back saying, oh, I wish we had an extra day or two. Really. Then we had to cut it to about 15 days because very few people had that kind of time in their personal schedule available.
That's amazing. The those shots that you had from those trips, do you still? You probably still use those today for educational purposes?
Well, yeah, but there aren't any programs until everything gets rolling again. So we're right in the midst of a transfer of doing nothing and holding our breaths and wearing masks, which I still have all over the place,
sure,
and still wear on occasion, to going full bore back into our programs. But so much of that is dependent upon having the help that we need, caring for the animals, because they're always the priority. And then if we can take time away from those programs because we have a sufficient staff back at the ranch, as it were, taking care of the animals, mm-hmm, then we can start these programs really rolling. So if there's anyone out there who loves animals and would like to help, you are more than welcome. More than welcome. Just give us a call. I'll give you the phone, if I may.
You may.
It's 815-455-9411. You may not always get an answer because we may be out in the buildings working with the animals. So please just leave a message. We'll be delighted to get back to you.
So right now, what would you say, how many pets do you have, animals do you have in the facility right now, Lee?
Oh, right now we have just under 100. This is Thursday. Tuesday we took in a couple of litters. So, oh, well, all right. Close to 100. I have to go back and count noses.
That's a big job.
It is a big job. And unfortunately, it involves Saturdays, Sundays, holidays, someone's birthday, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Do you find the pets are primarily dogs and cats? Or are there any other pets that they bring into you?
No, they'll make inquiry, but unfortunately we're not suited or equipped to handle birds or any of the small things.
So if they want to come to your facility to review a pet, they come in and then how do you work that? They see all the dogs or?
Well, they have to call in for an appointment, first of all.
Okay.
If people just want to come in and look, and sometimes, you know, bring the kids because it's a school holiday, it's something to do at this point in history. We really can't take the time. So we have to know that they are interested in what. And frankly, the cats that are available, as I mentioned earlier, are on view at the Crystal Lake PetSmart. Those babies are ready to go. So after meeting with a counselor, one of our adoption counselors, going through the application and an interview. They may be taking a pet home, and then we take our dogs walking through, saying, "Adopt me."
Well, that sounds good, Lee. We want to remind everybody that we've been talking to Lee Linkletter from the Sissy Animal Foundation, and she's been very gracious to join us today. And here again, where you're sharing time with us, we thank you for that. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Radio community station. Go to huntleyradio.com and click on Contact Us, and you'll be able to get more information. Lee, we want to thank you for joining us today, and we wish you best of luck with your foundation.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you.